Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Inside Hong Kong with Claire Huang, the Straits Times correspondent of Territory. Claire, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rachel. It's good to be back on the show.
Always good to catch up and find out what's happening out in Hong Kong, Claire. And let's start off with COVID-19. What's the latest in Hong Kong?
Well, Rachel, daily figures have been in the teens in recent days, and more than 11,000 cases, we've crossed the 11,000 threshold. The latest cluster at the K11 shopping mall in Tsim Sha Tsui has been shut for disinfection until Friday. It's the first time a mall has been shut due to the virus by a landlord.
Okay.
So the Chinese restaurant where the outbreak happened has been terminated as a tenant. Experts found that the ventilation in the restaurant did not meet stipulated criteria. And the government has said that there's no more room for relaxation of rules, so it has extended current measures for another 2 weeks from today. But along with the extension, the government imposed this additional criteria for eateries, which is to have dedicated staff to use to clear used utensils and disinfect tables. And if they're not able to arrange that, the staff must then clean their hands or change their gloves every time they switch to a different task. So the F&B sector representatives have said that it's hard to follow this order, because if you look at a lot of small eateries, right, basically one person does the job of many functions, right? So
you've got chef, cashier, and cleaner all in one. Is that it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Speaking of what's happening with COVID-19 in Hong Kong, let's talk about vaccinations now, because there were reports yesterday that Hong Kong's public health authorities are investigating the death of a man with chronic diseases 2 days after he received the first shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. What do we know about that?
Well, an expert committee yesterday said that his death is unrelated to the jab, and they and this comes as, you know, they're rolling out the vaccination plan, right? The committee suggested that chronic diseases might have led to this man's death. He was chronically ill with respiratory diseases, high blood pressure, coronary artery problems, and so on.
So has this put a dent in vaccination plans, or since it was unrelated, perhaps not?
Well, shortly after the news came out, 200 appointments were cancelled. Officials are worried, you know, that people might be inclined to not volunteer for the inoculation program. But if you look at the data, 51,800 people have already gotten their first Sinovac jab. In all, 256,000 people have reserved for the Sinovac vaccine, and more than 91,000 people have booked slots for the BioNTech vaccine.
We're speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent at The Straits Times. And Claire, just shifting gear quickly, we briefly spoke about this last week, and that's China's plan to dramatically reform Hong Kong's electoral system. That's expected to be unveiled in parliamentary session in Beijing starting this week. How will this upend the territory's political scene? What can we expect? Are there any further updates from when we caught up last week?
Well, the National People's Congress will meet tomorrow for a week. Hong Kong is expected to be mentioned, it's almost certain. And we are expecting the powers of district councillors in choosing the chief executive of Hong Kong to be scrapped. Details are not known yet, but if anything to go by, given the what happened in the forum in Shenzhen over the weekend, it's clear that this is where Hong Kong is heading. So the forum was talking about, you know, having patriots govern and how you only allow patriots and not, and the issue of district councillors, scrapping their powers to choose the chief executive were some of the suggestions. As it is, the largest pro-establishment party here, DAB, is offering a six-month course to groom people for political career at a cost of HK$5,000. Now, this course will feature guest speakers such as former Chief Executive Leong Chun-ying. You have former Legislative Council President Jasper Sung. So those wanting to join must have a bachelor's degree or higher and at least 3 years' work experience. Candidates will then be notified in early May following an interview. So that's how they're trying to, you know, groom people for the government.
And talking about Mr. Leung Clare, he hasn't ruled out running for the chief executive again. What did he say in the interview?
You know, he's the most vocal supporter of Beijing, right? So he said in an interview, and he was the chief executive from 2012 to 2017. He's also the vice chairman of China's top political advisory body, the CPPCC. So in the interview, he listed the criteria for the position of chief executive. It must be a Chinese citizen, at least 40 years old, who has lived in Hong Kong for more than 20 years. But the 66-year-old, right, has been tipped in Hong Kong political and business circles as a potential successor to the current leader, Carrie Lam. Despite the fact that he declared in late 2016 that he would not stand for a second term, citing family reasons. If anything, the events that unfold in this space after the two sessions will be something to watch, since Mrs. Lam's five-year term expires 2022.
And just shifting again, Claire, there's so much coming out of Hong Kong this week, and we did see bail proceedings for 47 Hong Kong democracy activists charged with conspiracy to commit subversion. That's also taken place this week. And the youngest protester I was reading about yesterday, a 16-year-old, has been charged. What's the latest on this?
Well, you know, this is perhaps the longest mention I've ever come across in my time covering court cases. It spans 4 days. The hearing, you know, essentially what they're doing is the charges have been read. You're just supposed to get a second date and, you know, see whether bail is granted or not. And under the national security law, bail is not presumed. So they have gone on with no decision made, you know, for 3 days. Now, the defense, and then what happened was that the defense lawyers representing some of the defense lawyers have, for seven of the accused persons, have, you know, relinquished their duties and say they will not be representing seven of them, of the 47.
I also want to catch up with you on another headline that's come out earlier today, and that's that Hong Kong is no longer on an economic freedom list, one that it had previously dominated. Can you share more with us about that?
Well, for more than two decades, Hong Kong occupied the top position, the pole position, in the Index of Economic Freedom. Singapore took over the pole position last year, and Hong Kong was down to second place. Now, this, you know, the Hong Kong government has been included, is now included in China's ranking together with Macau, you know, and China's ranking is down the league table in the 107th place. So, you know, essentially, Hong Kong has disappeared from this annual ranking of the world's freest economies that it traditionally dominated. And the publisher is Heritage Foundation, who says that the city no longer has autonomy over its economic policies. Hence, this is the decision.
I see. Well, Claire, thank you so much for all of those updates today.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Have a good rest of the week.
Likewise, we've been speaking with Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent at The Straits Times, right here on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.